This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Following in the footsteps of Martin Luther King Jr. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore. David Brancaccio is on assignment. Today, many remember the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his life of service, with service of their own by volunteering in their communities. This election year, there is a real need for one particular kind of volunteer nationwide, poll workers. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
About a million people step up to work the polls in a presidential election, says Barry Burden, director of the Elections Research Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. But like many parts of this economy, there's a labor shortage.
Election officials around the country have told us over the last 15 years or so that about half of them say they have very substantial difficulties finding enough poll workers to serve.
And not just in the big November elections. Olivia Zink is the executive director of Open Democracy in New Hampshire and is working on recruiting poll workers for the state's primary next week.
So Nashua Ward 2 needs some people. Keene Ward 1 and 4 need people. The city of Franklin needs workers. The city of Manchester needs workers. The city of Portsmouth needs workers.
Zink celebrates volunteers who sometimes serve for decades, but warns many are aging out. Advocacy groups nationwide are pushing for more young people to get involved, especially, says Ryan Paranunzi at the Fair Election Center.
Folks who can speak multiple languages and who are tech savvy to be able to get up to speed with election technology.
Paranunzi says when there aren't enough poll workers,
it makes it a lot harder for people to vote because the place they normally would go to might not be open because of staffing shortages, or they might go to the polling place and have to wait in line for a long time.
And in a tightly contested election, that can depress voter turnout and voter confidence. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
If you want more information on serving as a poll worker, you can go to workelections.com. U.S. markets are closed today to honor the birth of Martin Luther King Jr. Markets reopen tomorrow, Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Parents assume their children will go to college right after high school, although some do take a gap year or two before heading off to earn their next degree. Most economic studies also use the standard assumption that college is for the young. The assumption is reasonable, and yet, like so many commonplace suppositions, misleading enough that it's worth taking another look at the data. Turns out, a surprising number of college graduates are actually late bloomers. For more on this, David Brancaccio spoke with Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Here's David.
Shaw said youth is wasted on the young, right? Others, including me, like to say that college is wasted on the young. You've been looking at research on college graduates who are, what, they've gotten to it a little later than typical?
Right. And the thing is, David, this is a much bigger trend than I ever realized. Now, for the discussion about a college education, you know, age becomes the relevant number when we're defining what is a late bloomer, who is a late bloomer. So there's this recent paper, Late Bloomers, The Aggregate Implications of Getting Education Later in Life. And these three economists, they calculate, David, that 1/5 of 4-year college graduates complete their education later in life. So they call these college graduates late bloomers, meaning they got their college degree after age 30.
Now, I mean, we do reporting on this program that a college degree does not make good economic sense for everyone, but most teenagers still hear the message very loud that if you want to get a job with decent benefits and okay pay and prospects for promotion, go to college and graduate and don't waste your time.
And as you know, this message has been heard. There has been a substantial increase in the number of college graduates over the decades. But what I didn't realize, David, is the scholars find that late bloomers account for more than half of the growth in the share of college-educated adults from 1960 to 2019. Late bloomers also contributed to the narrowing of the gender and racial college share gap over this time period, too.
Economists have calculated the hefty, really, rate of return on a college degree. What about the late bloomers? Same or different?
So, good news, bad news. So the good news is late bloomers get a boost to their wages after they earn their college degree, but it's smaller than the one received by early graduates. And the authors say that their results, they suggest that current estimates of the college wage premium, which includes late bloomers, underestimates the gains from college for those who graduate in their 20s by a meaningful amount.
When I hear all of this, I wonder, are colleges and universities gearing up to devote more resources toward, easing the path for late bloomers?
I wish they were. I mean, that's the takeaway, at least for me, of studies like this. Look, college and universities, they need to become these centers for lifelong learning. You know, at a time when four-year institutions, they're dealing with declining enrollments. Late bloomers, this is a potential pool of applicants welcoming late bloomers into the academy. That's an opportunity for growth with the aging of the workforce.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
A thought before we go, an invitation, actually. We at the Marketplace Morning Report watch one documentary film a month, and we would love for you to join us. Each month, we pick a movie with economic themes, and then we discuss it all with you, with experts, on the air, and in our weekly Econ Extra Credit newsletter. You can sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.